The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, old dogs. I just want to take a moment to welcome a new sponsor to the show, Smart Move. Smart Move is the best way I know to protect yourself from evictions and bad tenants. Smart Move has a special offer just for old dog listeners. Just go to tenantscreening.com, enter code OLDDOG25 at checkout, and you'll get 25% off your next screening. That's tenantscreening.com, enter OLDDOG25, and get 25% off your next screening.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello? Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is why I don't do Section 8 anymore. It's going to be a fun one. Well, hey, before we get started, though, I'm just checking in with you guys, as I always do, just to hopefully encourage you. You know, I'll tell you, man, some days are just the worst, man. Sometimes I'll just like, it's like anything that can go wrong goes wrong. And, you know, it's easy to get discouraged, you know, as a real estate investor, because it has its ups and downs, right? But it also has its benefits too. And those are the things that we really want to focus in on and just keep pressing on. I'll tell you, it's really easy to get discouraged and to give up and just say, I'm done with this. But if you press on, you keep moving forward, those are the folks that do the best in this crazy real estate investing world. So try not to let things get to you. Remember, persistence pays off a big time in real estate investing. One, I just want to encourage you. I also want to let you guys know, too, if you are thinking of going into apartment investing, okay, that there is a there's a lot of things you can do, a lot of great books. We have a book section in our website under the resources tab. And we have sort of the top 20 real estate investing books. And there's some great ones there on apartment investing that might be a good place for you to start. Of course, there's a ton of great podcasts, this being one of them. There's also some great websites, Bigger Pockets, a lot of great places you can go to get a lot of information about investing in apartment buildings. You can start small with maybe just, you know, duplexes, fourplexes, what have you, and kind of build your way up. One of the things I would recommend you doing, besides the research and collecting the information, but also practice analyzing properties and try to get in and understand what are the elements you need to plug in to assess whether or not number-wise that apartment would be a good investment. That's just something, you know, some tips for you guys there. Another thing, keep in mind here too, if there are those of you out there that are, man, I've been doing that, I've been analyzing properties, I've been looking at them, but I just don't have the funds to get started. Hey, you know, maybe we should talk because we have some funding and we may be able to work something out as somebody that might be able to be a part of your deal. So if that's the case with you and all you need is sort of the funding, you've got the drive and you've got the interest in finding the deals, then maybe we can talk. So anyway, you know how to reach me. Just go to our website at olddogsreinetwork.com and go to the contact page and let me know what you got. We'll see if we can do something together. Well, let's move into our topic here, why I don't do Section 8 anymore. Now, before I get started, I do want to say that Section 8, you know, is not the worst thing in the world, okay? What I will say is that it does work well for some folks. Some folks love it, and there are others that struggle with it. And I'll to be honest with you, I'm one who struggled with Section 8. When I first bought my properties, I had bought some in Memphis and Atlanta areas. The one in Atlanta, boom, it just has been just zooming along, doing really well. I hardly ever have to worry about it, think about it. I got a great property manager. Everything goes real well. But Memphis, boy, I've had my struggles in Memphis. And there was a point where I went 6 months without any tenants in some of the properties I had there. And I was really concerned and ended up firing 2 different property managers because they couldn't bring me tenants. Went through this whole big struggle, got on BiggerPockets, you know, kind of aired my issues out there. And then people responded and it was great. The forums are wonderful if you're trying to solve problems. But I was also getting really discouraged because people were saying, dump the apartment, you know, dump the properties. You're in a bad area. You're never going to get any tenants, da, da, da. And there was one guy that sort of emerged and he came up out of that and he basically said, hey, you know, let's talk. Basically, he told me, look, I can get tenants into your properties, no problem at all. I grew up in that area. I know that area really well. And I can get tenants in quickly. So, you know, boom, he had me. I was all ears. I was listening. Go ahead. What can you tell me? And he was saying, basically, one, I can get tenants fast. And I'd been 6 months without tenants. So he definitely got my interest there. Next, he said, I can get your rents guaranteed. And that means that the government will back them up and you'll get that rent like clockwork. And boom, I'm getting hooked here. Okay. The hook is hooking into my mouth then and is reeling me in here. Not only that, but the rental rates will be above market. Okay, higher than I was asking. The tenants are pre-screened. And anyway, just went through this whole list of advantages. And basically what he was talking about is, hey, I can get you Section 8 tenants. There's this special government program that you know, basically is provided by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development that provides low-income housing, okay, through this Section 8 program. So people can rent your property from you. The government issues the check every month. Now, granted, it may be a partial check and the tenant has to come up with the other, but you know, generally they're long-term tenants. People have to wait on a list to even qualify for the program. So likely they're not going to violate their, you know, the agreement, which means they have to take care of the place they live in and all this wonderful stuff. So I was like, okay, man, you had me at guaranteed rent. Okay. So I basically signed up with this property manager and boom, he stuck to his, I mean, yeah, we had to do some stuff in the beginning to get the properties ready and qualified, but it happened really quickly. And boom, all of a sudden my properties are all filled from empty properties to filled properties. And I'm just going, this is the greatest. And for a year, okay, I was in this euphoria here of Section 8 is the greatest, and I absolutely loved it. Well, reality started to hit after that first year. And after 1 year, the local housing authority comes in and they do an inspection, okay? This is where things just started to change, okay? So they came in and they basically, an inspector comes in and they go through the property and they look to see that you're meeting all the qualifications for the program, okay? And I figured, yeah, I fixed everything and I qualified. So a year ago, nothing has changed. Well, there's just a strange anomaly there, and it's almost as if the people that are inspecting these properties have to find something to prove that they are actually visiting and inspecting the property. So they come up with a list, okay, and the lists are brutal, or at least they were for every property that I had, and they would cost me to basically get
the property back up to par again, okay, so that it meets the qualifications. Well, I figured, yeah, a couple hundred dollars, it's not a big deal. Well, it wasn't a couple hundred dollars. It ranged anywhere from $1,200 to $2,500 to fix all the things that they listed. And I was going, whoa, that's like my profit from cash flow for that year on this one particular unit. I'm going, this is crazy.
Evicting a tenant can be painful and cost as much as $10,000 in court and legal fees. The best way to protect yourself from evictions and bad tenants is to screen your tenants. And the best way that I know to screen your tenants is Smart Move. Smart Move is part of TransUnion, a trusted consumer reporting agency with more than four decades of experience. They built an online screening service for independent landlords that delivers critical credit and background reports to you in minutes. It is a valuable tool to help you when you are trying to decide who to put into your rental property, and they can help you find your next great tenant. Only Smart Move has a credit score built specifically for rental screening called Resident Score, which can identify eviction risk 15% better than a traditional score. With the Smart Move report, you'll also get a criminal background check, eviction history report, as well as a full credit report. And only Smart Move has Income Insights, a report enabling you to analyze renter income to determine if further verification is needed. See why 9 out of 10 users recommend Smart Move, and more than 4 million landlords have used Smart Move to make better leasing decisions. Smart Move has a special offer just for Old Dog listeners. Go to tenantscreening.com, enter code OLDDOG25, and you'll get 25% off your next screening. That's tenantscreening.com. Use code OLDDOG25 at checkout for 25% off your next screening. Smart Move. Reduce your risk of non-payment and evictions.
All of a sudden, the honeymoon was over. Okay, I had my 1 year of Section 8 bliss, and then things started to fall apart. Okay. Another thing, okay, is I had tenants that I thought were going to be there forever, and boom, they were getting out. Okay. They were either not meeting their obligation and paying their, you know, the part of the rent they were supposed to pay, or they just trashed the place and we had to evict them. So HUD, okay, they don't pay security deposits. So there were no security deposits in place. I mean, I didn't realize this at that time. You know, that was not something I could have done optionally. But I found out that I could later. But these people don't have the money to even pay rent. So how are they going to pay a security deposit? So I had properties that got totally trashed. And of course, we reported the people and it probably knocked them off the qualification list, but they didn't seem to care. And so, you know, as time went on, some of the other difficulties you find out is evicting is difficult. There's a lot more steps involved. Normally, Tennessee as a whole is a tenant-friendly state, but you add on to that the requirements of the housing authority and it changes, and it can take a lot longer. You also get, you know, some of the downfalls of these things that time was going on, I was realizing I also get higher risk tenants. Okay. Now, lower income doesn't always mean that they're going to be bad tenants. In a lot of cases, I wanted to help people out. So I thought that this would be a great way to do that at the same time to make a nice, you know, nice income. Well, you know, it's unfortunately, some of the folks just really didn't care and they would let the properties run down. There were holes in the wall. I mean, it's like, wow, what could you do to a place, you know, in that short period of time? And well, they did it. And that was part of the problem. In one unit, one property, I had a duplex. And so I had Section 8 on one side and Section 8 on the other. Well, after the experience I had, I got rid of the Section 8 in one. And then I was trying to get other people to rent the other. But they didn't want to rent because they didn't want to be in a building with a Section 8 folks because maybe the experiences they've had, I wasn't really sure, but they kind of scared away just the regular cash paying tenant. Also, you know, generally Section 8 is in a lower income neighborhood, and already there are just a number of risks that happen when you are in a lower income area. It's a little bit harder to find
maybe the best of tenants. People either may be scared of the area, or maybe they're just not comfortable there. So it gets a little bit difficult to get people that are non-Section 8 into these properties. So, and when you have a turnover, okay, these are just crazy expensive. In most cases, almost all of them, the tenants had left the place where I had to just do a major, turnaround expenses, and it just cost me a lot. So in addition to the inspection fees that I had, then I had to deal with some of the other issues of the damage that they had done as well. I wasn't selling at the time, but I was, contemplating selling because of the frustration I was having with Section 8. And then I found out that a lot of the lenders are not real enthusiastic to fund Section 8 properties. And I didn't realize that when I went into this mode. So this is just kind of a quick little overview that some of the challenges you can have with Section 8. Now, granted, I think there are some people that's all they do is Section 8, and they really kind of hone it down to a science. And there are ways to get, to qualify and only get sort of the best tenants and screen them in a certain way that allows you to be able to at least try to get folks that will lower that risk aspect. But for me, I just, after, I went through, these are only three units I was dealing with at the time, but after that experience, I just had no more Section 8. And now I'm just dealing strictly with other folks. And so, just a couple of things that might, so you're not discouraged. If you are in an area that might be a little tough to rent outside of Section 8, there are some things that you can do. And I'm just going to, try to part with some good positive things here that you can do. And number one, try to find good tenants. And I know that may be harder than you think, and you do have to work a little harder in a lower income area. I think the thing you have to look at is look at your neighborhood, go up and down the street, look around. There are people there that take care of their properties. There are people there that are hardworking people that live or either they rent or they own homes in that area. So if you look at your community, I mean, unless it's a real war zone, and neither of these properties were in war zones. They were in decent areas, but it's just that there were probably a lot more renters and a lot more Section 8 folks. So in trying to find good tenants in a low-income area, you want to look for hardworking people, people that have a job. And a lot of times the Section 8 folks are not working. And there may be for, very solid, legitimate reasons. But when you've got people that are home all day, there can be problems. The house is getting a lot more wear and tear than it normally would, and as opposed to having working folks there. So, one of the things that I have tried to do is to try to find who are the possible folks that would want to live here. And those would be the people who maybe work nearby, who don't want to have to drive a long way to get to their house, but they're nearby. And there's hospitals nearby. There's a lot of, factories and other things in the areas where I had these properties. So what I did is I went right to the employers, and I tried to go to the HR department, give them maybe a little flyer that would give their employees 1 month free of rent, and try to attract that group. Medical personnel, if there's a hospital, man, they are just great tenants. These are hardworking people that like to come home and go to sleep, and they just want a place nearby that they don't, they don't have to drive forever to get to. There are also factories that work around the clock in the area. There are people that are security guards that work night shifts and graveyard shifts, and they also tend to be good tenants.
Then you have your first responders, cops and fire personnel and so forth. There are these jobs and you just kind of seek them out. And then you go to the companies or the HR people and you start talking to them. You know, sometimes I just find like a, for example, just a hardworking single mom, and maybe she's working two or three jobs and she just wants a good school that, for their kids to go to, and they and an area that, you know, she can get to quickly from her work so that she can pick up the kids and from school and do the things she has to do. It could be a working dad too, single dad. Another is special needs tenants, and I've been doing more and more of this and working with agencies in the area that place people that are handicapped, maybe they're disabled vets, maybe they're folks with, you know, maybe mild autism and so forth, and they can live independently, but they you know, aren't really necessarily able to get out and work, although there are some that do actually have little jobs where they can go and work maybe in a factory for a short period of time. But folks like that, you know, they love it when they can have their own place. And if you can build a relationship with these agencies, you can place those folks in the neighborhood. As long as it's not a dangerous neighborhood, you know, they'll want to talk to you. And so sometimes you have to bring your place up to spec if it is maybe handicapped, and you might have to put some ramps in or things of that nature. But generally, you don't always have to do those types of things. So those are some tips on how you can get other people besides Section 8 into your lower income area. Second of all is, once you have them, you need to keep them happy. And this is really important, because once you've got a great tenant like that, you just want to do the things that you can to make it worthwhile. If you've got a place like I've got, like a, you know, duplex with 3-bedroom, 2 baths on each side, and with that, you know, I'd love to have families, and it'd be great. Putting a play area in the back with swings and all that stuff is something that can attract them to that. Maybe having free cable TV. Some of the things that make them feel safe, even, you know, you can hire an ADT type service that can come in and just, you know, cruise the area and what have you to help them, make them feel safe. But one of the key areas that at least we find that tenants really like is just as long as you respond well to any kind of service needs, you know, make a commitment in your rental and find a service company that can get in there within 24 hours, and if it's an emergency, within a couple hours, even if it's 3 in the morning, and establish those relationships. So if something does happen, boom, you know that somebody's going to get there and fix that problem right away. It may cost a little bit more, but that's the kind of stuff that makes tenants happy and keeps them happy. So those are just a few key things. I mean, the quality of your renters determines the quality of your returns. If you can get folks that are hardworking, they want to take care of the house and you know, not be a blight in the neighborhood, but somebody that is a contributing member of that community, those are the best folks you can get a hold of. And, you know, I'm not saying that Section 8 people aren't like that. There are some great Section 8 people out there, but it just is, again, you know, the experience I had dealing with multiple Section 8 tenants was a little bit tough. Add to that the challenges from the, you know, the local housing authorities, and it just makes it real tough to be profitable in that standpoint. But you know, however you choose to invest, you know, the main thing is that you take care of your tenants, you treat your tenants well, and that you know, you protect yourself and your investment, you know, by doing the right things as an investor. Well, that is it for today. I hope that was helpful for you guys. Please note, everything I mentioned here will be outlined in the extensive show notes that can be found at our blog at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. You're going to look for the episode on why I don't do Section 8 anymore. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening. And may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.